So we want to take a little step back this morning and just look at where we've been and where we're going and how everything sort of ties together. We started the year off with a series on West End's mission statement, looking together at how we said this is really how we as a church view our response to God's good news. That as we do life together, this is really what shapes how we understand what that means. And then coming up to the end of that series, the last 2 weeks, we said, okay, the invitation in Scripture is that everything we do, every decision we make, every moment of every day, will either be used as a tool to build the way things ought not to be, or to build the way things ought to be. That was 2 weeks ago. And then last week we said, okay, well, if the goal is to be used as a tool to build things the way they ought to be, how do we know what that is? And we said that we saw from the book, from the letter of 1 John that to build the way things ought to be is to live like Jesus. And so now as we come into Lent, we're going to look together at how Jesus and his disciples did life together. Right, really what we're looking at in this next series over the next few weeks in as we come towards Easter is, okay, if the way that we're supposed to live is to live like Jesus, then let's look at the example of Jesus and his disciples and how they did life together. And what we're going to find is that as we look at how Jesus and his disciples did life together, we're going to find that naturally, the natural response to living like Jesus is going to be inviting others also to follow Jesus. And when we live like Jesus, we're going to see that that naturally spills over into inviting others to live like Jesus as well. So that's where we're going, and we're going to start off this week with how Jesus calls some of his first disciples. So we're looking in the book of John, John chapter 1 today. And in John chapter 1, verse 43, we read this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, I find it really interesting that Philip, we don't get any of the details of Jesus' interaction with Philip, right? There's nothing that shows us why Philip wanted to follow Jesus. And yet, there's something about Jesus that's so compelling, something about Jesus that resonates so much with Philip that he apparently immediately drops everything to follow Jesus. But then, in verse 44, he turns around. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So the very first thing Philip does is he leaves, he goes and he finds Nathanael, and he speaks to Nathanael's heart. We're going to find out more as we go through this passage as to why this speaks so heavily to Nathanael's heart. But Philip knows how to approach Nathanael. He knows what's going to connect with Nathanael. He knows what it is that Nathanael is going to say, "Wow, this is something I want to know more about." But Nathanael isn't quite sold, right? He says, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Now, I find it really interesting. Nazareth is actually not mentioned anywhere in the entire Old Testament. And even there's a historian who wrote about Jewish history and culture and all sorts of things. His name was Josephus, and Josephus never mentions the town of Nazareth. And so it's not that surprising that for Nathanael, the idea that can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is nowheresville. And plus, you throw in that Bethsaida and Nazareth are fairly close to each other. They're both towns in Galilee, and there's a little bit of a rivalry there, perhaps. And it's like, you know, the east side, can anything good come from the east side of Grand Rapids? But Nathanael doesn't try to debate Philip doesn't try to debate Nathanael and convince him of the truth of what he says. Rather, he invites Nathanael to an experience. says, come and see. Come and experience that which he has experienced. So Nathanael says, well, all right, I'll come along. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I mean, Nathanael is just walking towards Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, and Jesus speaks to Nathanael's heart without ever having met him. I mean, Nathanael's question is absolutely a natural question to ask, right? How in the world do you know me? I remember one time I was involved in this summer program. It was through Calvin Seminary, and a group of us flew out to Calgary, Alberta. And I go into this church where we're going to be doing some work. And I walk in, and the pastor of that church comes up to me, and he goes, you must be Corey. How do you know me? You must have had a picture. He goes, I have been praying for you every day for the last month. Right, there's something about knowing somebody's heart. When we are in deep relationship with God, God can use that to make us aware of somebody's heart. God can use that to demonstrate for us who this person is in front of us. And Jesus is the perfect human being, the one who is in perfect relationship with God. He looks at Nathanael and he sees Nathanael's heart. He sees who he really is before God. He says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. You see, because as much as God may empower us to know somebody's heart, the knowledge that Jesus has, we come face to face with the reality that this knowledge is more than what we can have. There's a sense in which Jesus looks at Nathanael and he says, I knew something about you that only God could know. He says, I saw you while you were still sitting underneath the fig tree. And, well, I think naturally we might say, well, what's going on with this whole fig tree thing? Well, it turns out that the fig tree actually has sort of a function throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, we read this, during Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. The fig tree came to symbolize in the Old Testament the idea of being safe and secure. And the fig tree began to carry not just images of safety, but ultimately began to be an image for people who were waiting for the Messiah. Waiting for God to fix what was broken everywhere. Waiting for God to make everything right. So when Nathanael is sitting under the fig tree, what this is it's a shorthand way of saying that Nathanael is one who spends his days contemplating, waiting for God to make things right. He's waiting for God's promised Messiah. Waiting for the one who is going to fix what's broken. And when Jesus knows him and knows his heart, when Jesus knows that he has been anticipating, waiting for, longing for God's promised Messiah, when Nathanael realizes that Jesus knows this, he responds, he declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And he follows Jesus. Now, as we think about that story, as we think about this sequence of events, what strikes me is that there's a lot of people who are able to speak to each other's heart. Right? Jesus looks at Philip. He says, "Follow me." And there's something about this Jesus that just resonates with Philip in such a way that he is willing to give up everything to follow him. When Jesus looks at Nathanael and he knows Nathanael's heart and he speaks to Nathanael's heart and he points out that Nathanael has been waiting for God to make everything right. Nathanael says, "I'm going to give up everything to follow you." See, when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter Jesus, he speaks to our heart. He knows us. He knows who we are and what we need. He knows what it is that we have been longing for and waiting for. See, I think every single one of us has some way in which we are sitting under the fig tree waiting. There's some sense in which all of us recognize that this world is not the way it's supposed to be. And as we sit, as we go through our daily lives, we come face to face with these ways that we want God to fix what's broken. When 17 school children are shot, we say, "God, how can this be?" Because we want the world to be made better. We want the world to be right. We want an end to these sorts of things. When we feel the pain of a broken relationship with our parents or with friends, something inside of us knows that this isn't the way things are supposed to be. When we get that diagnosis that we were never supposed to get, something inside of us knows that this isn't how things are supposed to be. We don't have to look far to be reminded that our world is broken. We don't have to look far to be reminded that we contribute to that brokenness. We don't have to look far to see that feeling inside of us that there's got to be a different way. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way that things were supposed to be. And Jesus looks at us and he says, "I see you under that fig tree. I see you waiting, longing, hoping for the world to be made right." And the rest of Jesus' life, he will face betrayal. In the rest of Jesus' life, he will face pain and sorrow. In the rest of Jesus' life, he will face everything that isn't the way it's supposed to be. And yet he will carry that with him to the cross. He will crucify it with him, and he will raise to new life victorious on Easter morning, inviting us into the way things ought to be. But Jesus knows our heart. He knows what it is that we want to be made right in this world. He knows what it is that we carry with us of the pain of the ways that this world isn't the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus knows that, and he speaks to that. And he says, I am fixing what's broken everywhere. But it strikes me that none of that happens with Nathanael if Philip doesn't go to him. This whole interaction between Jesus and Nathanael doesn't happen unless Philip goes. And it's this awesome reminder that for some reason, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who speaks and sets the planets into motion, this God uses us as part of his story. Philip knew Nathanael's heart. He knew what would speak to Nathanael's deepest desire. He says, we found the one about whom the law and the prophets wrote. We found the one we've been waiting for. He knows what is going to connect with Nathanael's heart. And he's able to say, come and see, come and experience the one who's going to fix what's broken. See, part of following Jesus is being invited by God to enter into relationship with others in such a way that we know their heart, in such a way that we can speak to their heart and how God can speak to their heart. But that doesn't happen like that. Part of being a disciple of Jesus is being somebody who lives with integrity, somebody who lives in such a way that we know and come to know the hearts of others. And we treat with respect the story of who they are. And we treat with respect where their heart is. I had a friend one time who, when we met in the fall of 2007, and he had just graduated from Virginia Tech. And you may recall that in the spring of 2007 had been the shooting on the campus of Virginia Tech. And when we met him, of course, as soon as he said, I'm from Virginia Tech, everybody looks at him. Everybody's head snaps to look at him because everybody thinks he was there. To this day, I consider it one of the most God-honored things that God has allowed me to do. That it wasn't until about 3 or 4 months later that he finally told me what it had been like that day. That 4 months later, our relationship had developed to the point that he felt comfortable sharing his heart and his experience. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we live trustworthy lives. That as others look at us and their relationship with us, that we would be invited to speak to their heart, that we would be invited to know their heart. To be able to say, I found what you're looking for. I found what you've been waiting for. Come and see. So friends, this morning as we reflect together on what it means that we're waiting and hoping and longing for God to fix what's broken in this world, and that God is fixing what's broken through His Son, Jesus. I want to invite you to just take a couple of minutes and think about, what is the fig tree, the fig leaf that you're waiting under? What's the fig leaf, the fig tree that you are sitting underneath, waiting and longing and hoping for God to make right? And what might it mean for God to speak to your heart with regards to that? So I've got just a little fig leaf. I'm going to hand them out, or I'm going to have the elders hand them out, actually, or somebody hand them out. And while we do that, I'm going to have Kristen come up, and she's going to play the song that we're going to sing after, but she's just going to play it instrumentally for us to listen to and reflect as we think together about what God is. Yeah, come on up, guys. Sorry, guys. As we think together about what God is doing to fix what's broken in this world. And then I invite you to, not just to write down what the fig leaf is that you're sitting under, the fig tree you're sitting under. Here, Joanne, I've got more for you. So on that fig leaf, go ahead and write down what it is that you're waiting, longing, hoping for God to make right in this world. But then also I invite you in these couple minutes to just think about how God might be, about somebody who God might be putting in your life. Somebody who God might be inviting you to speak to their heart. To know how God is fixing what's broken in this world. They're coming around, so if you don't have one yet, go ahead and just start thinking and start reflecting now. If you have one, go ahead and start, but Kristen, go ahead and take it away. Thank you. is that Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus looks at how we are waiting and longing and hoping for this world to be made right. He says, I saw you. I see your heart. Friends, please rise as we receive God's blessing. Friends, may God go before you to guide you. May God go beside you to befriend you, beneath you to support you, and behind you to protect you. Do not fear. God is fixing what's broken everywhere. Do not be afraid. And all God's people said, amen.